We'll continue in Acts chapter 2 this morning and consider some things about the city of Jerusalem, but specifically the church that was there in AD 33 that was established at the time from the Bible reading that James just read from in Acts 2. Peter had preached that first gospel sermon there, and those people were come from 14 to 15 different nations. The Jews were there in Jerusalem for to worship, and he preached the gospel of Christ to them, told them that Jesus, the Son of God, was the one that did come and live. He was before them, and he had suffered at their hands on the cross and died. They had been a part, some of those Jews had been a part of putting Jesus to death. And they were moved in their hearts. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. They were moved in their hearts whenever he told them that they had a part in that. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He told them, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." And so, thus it was in verse 41, "They that gladly received the word were baptized that day." And we find then that there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the church was established in AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Really, there are some people today and down through the ages who have had a problem with believing that the church was established on that day. But if you go back to the history of the Bible, Genesis 1, and see the creation, how God made man and woman, the promise in Genesis 3:15, that God made promised a seed that would come, that would be a Savior for all mankind. The process was there, the foreordained plan of God, the plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. The plan for the kingdom was there from the get-go. And so God gave a plan, and in the Garden of Eden, man and woman fell because of sin. Sin separated man from God, and so then it became necessary that God send His Son for our sins. And so He set up through Abraham then the avenue of a man of faith, and He promised him, "Thy seed I'll make a great nation, and through thy seed all nations will be blessed." And so through that seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, and the seed of David came Jesus, the Son of God, who was born and then lived and set the perfect example, gave His life for us. And thus Peter then is preaching that sermon, and you think about the preaching of that sermon. They had been waiting there for a few days in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Back in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, before Jesus ascended into heaven, they were asked about, you know, some things about the kingdom. And Jesus told them just before He ascended to go back and wait. "Wait, and I'll send to you the comfort of the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all truth." So they waited, and the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God came upon those men. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak then. And they spoke and they taught those people there in Jerusalem. And Peter's sermon then resulted in people obeying the gospel, the first principles of the gospel of believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. And so they were added to the church. Thus the church was established in that day. So this morning, let's begin talking about a few things concerning the church, and specifically that it was started in the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a real place, a real city in real time for hundreds of years. And you can go back and read about Jerusalem in the days of David and Solomon, the things that happened there, the temple that was built for God in the city of Jerusalem. It's referred to as the Holy City. The times that the Jews sinned against God and were taken into captivity and were carried away into different areas for hundreds of years, and then they were able to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple or rebuild the gates around the city and the things that happened to that city. And so it was a real city in real time, and it was a real place in AD 33 when that gospel sermon was preached. But we think about the fact today, there is a place called Jerusalem today, but now we understand that the city itself and the people there, it's completely different from what it was on the law of Moses, and the Jews were there that were God's people. This is a different place and a different time. We're now under the gospel of Christ. And so there is a city that's still there, been rebuilt, but it's not the holy city it was in the days of Moses. And it's not the same city as it was when Peter preached that gospel sermon. So just to understand that we're talking about a real place in real time, there is such a place where Peter stood in the streets there close to the temple and preached to those people, and they heard the word of God and they obeyed the gospel. Just a few slides concerning Jerusalem of today, and the fact that certainly there's the site there in Jerusalem of where the people were, the gate and the city and the streets and the things that were there of that nature. And so when we think about the Bible and the place of Jerusalem and the relationship to Acts chapter 2 and that it was a city where the gospel was preached, it's important that we bear in mind it's not a figment of our imagination. It wasn't just something that was brought up and someone talked about a place and time that was not real. It was real people in a real place in real time. You think about the olive trees and the things you hear about in the Gospels and even in the Old Testament and during the ministry of Christ. The city of Jerusalem and the way it was and the gates that opened up to different sections and going out to different parts and different places to go out from the city up to the Mount of Olives and out to the garden and different places. An interesting place to study. And so we certainly understand that when we talk about the church this morning that we are a part of, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to go back and just get a little history of how it started and those early Christians, zero in on what those early Christians did in the very beginning that was an example that we ought to look back to today, that we can see what they did were inspired of God through the teaching of the apostles, and that we too need to be doing those same things today. And so we think about some of the things that are familiar to us concerning the city of Jerusalem, the study of that city in ancient years, and the relationship that is completely different today, a different group of people, a different time, a different situation, but it is still there on the map as far as the people of today. And so the church at Jerusalem then, we get to the spiritual part, the people who make up the church, the bodies who are living and breathing with a spirit within them. So on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that sermon, those people heard the word of God and they were moved by it. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 then and verse 36. He said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" So here it is. Peter's going to tell them the plan of God for what they needed to do to receive forgiveness of their sins. The same plan that was told to these people is told to us. The same requirement was required of them is required of us. Then verse 38. Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." God had made the promise that through His Son He would send and He would be a Savior for all men, for everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. And so it happened. The Jews then were converted that day. The 3,000 souls were converted to Christ. And we look to verse 40 then and we see that these people now that had been converted, they became a part of the group with the apostles and the others. So they are part of the body of Christ. They are part of the church. So what happens is immediately these people begin to grow in knowledge. They begin to grow in understanding. They begin to be trained by the apostles and taught how they ought to be thinking and how they ought to be living and how the feelings they ought to have and the understanding that they need to have in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that now you are indeed children of God in the body of Christ in the church. Verse 40, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received His word," verse 41, "were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." So we see that in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we go back to what I said earlier. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were there and with one accord in one place. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And so verses 45, they were all filled with the Spirit, and they began, the apostle began to speak with other tongues the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the church that Jesus Christ bought and paid for with His blood when He died on the cross for His sins was established on the day of Pentecost in AD 33. And Paul went further in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30, when he called the Ephesian elders and told them, you know, that they were to oversee the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, he said, of which He has made you overseers, which Christ purchased with His blood. So this church that these people became a part of, the church that we're a part of, is blood-bought. Not paid for by money, not built by hands of men. It's not a structure of man that can be seen as far as a material structure, but it is us. We make up the church, those who are baptized into Christ. And so the church then was established, to go back, reiterate Acts 2, 14 through 37. The church was established through the preaching of the gospel. They received that word, they obeyed it, and we see then that Acts 2 and verse 42, when we look at the church, an example for us to follow then. Verse 42, and they, who are the they? The they are those that had heard the word, were moved by it, were baptized into Christ, and they're the ones that's joined the apostles. They've been added to the church. And so now they, that who gladly received His word, were baptized that day, and they continued. They continued how? How did these Christians go forward with their life after being baptized? Well, they continued in something that was very important. Verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and prayers. Now, we could make a lot of comments concerning this verse. They continued steadfastly. And the fact that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, it means that they were following a specific teaching. What is that was specified that they were following? That which the apostles taught them. What was the apostles teaching them? They were teaching them what the Holy Spirit was intending them to teach, because Jesus promised them back in Acts 1 that He had sent unto them the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that would guide them to all truth. They were teaching them, the apostles were teaching these Christians the will of God, the will of Christ, the words of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, Jesus had told them when He gave them the Great Commission, Acts 28, 19 and 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, that they were to go out and they were to do some teaching, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you to do. So Peter was only doing that which he was directed to do by the Lord and by the Holy Spirit. He taught them about Jesus, His crucifixion, what He had done for them, and that He has been raised. He's seated at the right hand of God in heaven. He's over all things now. And so these people believed that, and they heard that, and they obeyed it. They became Christians. And now they are being steadfast in obedience to what? To the teaching of the apostles. The apostles were teaching them nothing different than what we have revealed to us in the Bible. So as Christians, we need to be steadfast. We need to be steadfast in the teaching of the apostles, in the teaching of the Word of God. What the apostles taught came from God. What they taught was given to them by the Holy Spirit. And so that's revealed to us in the Bible. So today as Christians, what we are to receive and be steadfast in is the Word of God. The Word that comes from God. Acts chapter 2, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So today, there's no reason that you or me or anyone or any congregation or any person ought to get away from what's in this Bible. If we study it, it is possible to learn it. We're told to study the Word of God. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. It is possible to learn the Word of God and exercise our minds and our bodies to obey it. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is possible to hear this Word, the same thing the apostles taught. It is possible to hear it and let it work within us that we may grow. Peter declares in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. And if these things be in you and abound, ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, when we look at the church at Jerusalem and those people, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What do I need to be doing? I need to be getting in the book so I can what? So I can continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine as they did. You need to be getting in the book and reading it and learning so you can continue steadfastly. Now, it's not something that we continue in just when we feel like it. It's not something we just choose to continue in when the situation's right. It's not something we just continue in when we happen to have the time to do it. It's not something we continue to do sporadically from time to time, but it's something they did steadfastly. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine. To continue in something means you can continue to do it. Like prayer. We're to continue in prayer. We're not praying every minute we live, but we are continued and persistent in our prayer in that we pray regularly. We pray daily, sometimes twice a day or three times a day. We pray on it's something we use in our life on a regular day. This is what these people were doing. They were continuing in the learning of the Word of God. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Steadfastly. That means that they were involved in it and they didn't veer away from it. So today, our job as Christians is to continue steadfastly in the Word of God. That means that we are continually not being veered from it, not being taken alterations from it, not just sporadically saying we're going to do it, but we're going to be working on it every day of our life. To try to learn more every day. To try to learn to do better every day. And try to do the things we ought to be doing. Continuing steadfastly in the apostle doctrine. Why is it that so many people's lives sometimes just fall apart? Why is it that sometimes so many people's lives are just filled with sin and they got so many things happen to them because they brought it on themselves and they're just overwhelmed? It's because they haven't heard the Word of God and continued in it. Because when we hear the Word of God and we believe it and we obey it and we practice it, it can help us because it can take sin out of our life. It can forgive. We can get forgiveness. And we can't serve God without believing in Him. We've got to believe God before we can please Him. Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So how will I hear? How will you hear about God? How will we hear about this Jesus that died for our sins? How will we hear about Jerusalem and the first sermon? And how will we hear about the example that was set by the first Christians and what they did in continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? How will we hear about that? It's in the Word. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, a gospel meeting used to be a big thing. Gospel meeting at a certain place, and people would go and they would hear the gospel. The preaching of the gospel used to be a big thing. People wanted to hear the Word. Buildings would be filled. In my lifetime, I can remember that, when buildings were overflowing. Because people wanted to hear the Word. It didn't matter if it was Bill Hall or Dwayne Derrick preaching. They would come. Because they like to hear the gospel. What's happened? Where's the enthusiasm about continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? Where's the desire to know more about the Word of God? Where's the phrase that was said of Christians back in the 1940s and 50s and 60s and the 1930s when so many Christians were studying so hard? And even back to the 1800s when Christians were referred to as walking Bibles. Go ask Sister So-and-so, she knows. Go ask Brother So-and-so, he knows. They're walking Bibles. How did my mother and some of your folks, parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, how did they become known as walking Bibles? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They studied it. They wanted to know it. It's important then. So to continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, we've got to know what the doctrine, what the teaching is before we continue steadfast in it, right? So we need to know it, and that's important. My mother died when I was very young. But what I remember about her is she read her Bible. She read it to my sister and my brothers. She read it to our cousins that would come and visit. She read it every day. She didn't just read it, she believed it. She feared God. She believed in truth and honesty and uprightness and attending the services. I can remember hearing my mother and seeing my mother working the fields on our farm with the neighboring ladies that lived close to us that would come and help pick kingfar beans and kingfar pepper and that type thing that my daddy grew on the farm. And those ladies would be out there working, and I'd be going by and picking up the baskets and things and taking them out and putting them on a trailer, and I could hear them talking about the plan of salvation and what baptism is and the name of the church and what Christ did. How do you hear those things? You hear those things because people are continuing steadfastly in the apostle doctrine. I know each one of you want to continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine. So do I. I wish I'd have studied more when I was younger. I wish I'd have paid attention to what my mom was trying to tell me. More so than I did. But here's the church. A real place in real time by a real man, Peter. Inspired of God. Who stood before these people that represented about 14 or 15 different nations. Of Jews come from different countries. In that city in that day. And he stood up and preached unto them Jesus. Preached unto them Jesus. And it moved them. The teaching of the apostles moved them. What must we do? Repent and be baptized. If the Bible tells me I need to repent and be baptized, then I need to understand that I need to do it because it comes from God. If it tells me I need to gladly receive the Word, then that's what I need to be doing. I need to be gladly receiving the Word. Seems like sometimes you talk to people and they're more glad to receive the newspaper than they are the Word of God. Remember a couple of years ago we sent out invitations. We do it every meeting. But somehow or another someone left a meeting note on someone's front porch or on the door. And we got the services on. We came over here to clean the building on Saturday. And Helen and I got out of the car and Jason got to the and the invitation to the gospel meeting was taped on the door with a big note that said, "Don't ever leave anything like this religious paper on our door again." Some people just don't want to hear the Word of God. Some people are not interested. And that's their choice. That's your choice and my choice. We can learn what the apostles' doctrine were, which is the doctrine of Christ, which is the Word of God, which is the teaching of... We can learn it if we want to. Because God would have all people to come to repentance. God is long-suffering that all should come to repentance and be saved. And a matter of fact, Jesus came and gave His life a ransom for all. Why did God send His Son? He did it for everybody. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God did it for everyone. Matter of fact, the Great Commission we quoted earlier, now Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to who?" To every creature. He wants all to be saved. So the church at Jerusalem, when I see that Peter preached a sermon and these people responded and they gladly received the Word and they were baptized, they didn't just come out of there soaking wet and say, they were listening to the teaching of the apostles. There was more to it than just being baptized. It was about learning what to do and doing what we're told to do by faith. And believing that what God's Word said is true And the result of obeying God is salvation and a home in heaven. Because God has done this for us. Verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. James made a comment about fellowship the other day. The fellowship we have in Christ Jesus is the fact that we are a part. We are together. In the fact that we've had our sins forgiven and we're a part of the family of God. We are in that together. We are in the family together. We are in the state of forgiveness because God forgave us when we heard, believed, repented, confessed, and was baptized. The blood of Christ took away our sins. And when we do make mistakes, we can go to God on His terms and get forgiveness of our sins. So they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And in fellowship. They were having something to do with one another. They were in it together. They were in it together listening to the apostles. They were in it together then that they had been forgiven of their sins. And they had all that in common because we've had our sins forgiven. In fellowship. We need to take the Word of God and listen to it and learn it and read it and be in fellowship with God, with Christ, and with the saved. We have a likeness together in that. We are together in that we're a children of God. We're in the family of God. It's not just a participation together, but it's the fact that we are in it together. We're Christians. We're in the family of God. Have fellowship in the gospel. Taking a part in learning the good news. Learning the plan of salvation. And learning what to do. God would want you to be saved and me to be saved. He wants all to be saved. Matter of fact, Paul declared in Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So, the gospel that Peter preached was the most important word anyone could ever hear. The teaching that the apostles taught was the most important teaching anyone could ever hear. Those early Christians set an example for us. They continued, verse 42, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Are we continuing steadfastly in the Word of God and listening to it and learning it and sharing it and receiving it and studying it? Are we in fellowship with God in Christ because we're trying to do what He tells us to do and we're working toward that goal every day? We need to have that. Well, he goes on in that verse and says, they not only continued steadfast in apostle doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They got along with one another. They had some common likeness. They were prayerful people. They believed in prayer. What Alan said in this morning in the invitation about prayer, sometimes we all just pray for each other. Maybe not a specific, but just remember each other in prayer. We all have problems, don't we? Sometimes people get sick and we don't hear about it. Sometimes people are struggling spiritually and it may not be really evident, but maybe I need your prayers or you need mine. Sometimes people lose jobs and have to start over. A good friend of mine lost a good job about 20 years ago. Devastated him. But he didn't miss a step. I say it devastated him, the fact that he went from all this money he's making to what? Nothing. But it didn't deter his faith. He didn't miss a service. If anything, the man got stronger. And it wasn't long, he had another job. God will take care of you if we do what He asks us to do. So then, the Word of God is important. What the early church did was important. I want us to continue for maybe a lesson every now and then, off and on Sunday morning or Sunday night for the next few weeks, and talk about the church at Jerusalem and their example and what we can learn from it. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then the gospel is for you. It's for me. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess that before men, repent of your sins and be baptized, then you can be forgiven this day and leave this building a child of God. If you're here this morning and maybe there's something in your life you need to correct in a public way, you need the prayers of the brethren, if we can help you with that, please come as Barry leads us in the invitation song.